Let's recap a little bit of how we finished last class. We're speaking about the land of Israel. We wanted a few reasons why the land of Israel is so important. Well, for the course, but in Jewish life as well. Why do we move into Israel? Into studying it, not just geographically. So we said a number of reasons. Number one, majority of the mitzvot can only be kept in the land of Israel. I believe something like 53%, Monique, can only be kept in the land of Israel. Number one. So the land of Israel was given in order for us to ultimately fulfill the mitzvot inside. We said last class, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was so upset not to be allowed into the land of Israel. He was upset because he wanted to fulfill all 613, and he wasn't able to. He didn't want to sit down and relax on the beach in Tel Aviv, right? Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to experience every mitzvah in the place where mitzvot are meant to be kept. Okay? So the Torah itself was given outside of Israel in order to be fulfilled inside the land of Israel. The relation of the Jewish people to the land of Israel goes back thousands of years. It did not start, as you'll hear very incorrectly in many places, in 1948. It precedes that. Let's go back, we said, to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was told to Lech Lecha. He was told to go. Page 1. Mi'artzcha, from his land, u'mi'olatzcha v'beit avicha, el aretz asher arecha, to a land I'm going to show you. He was going to be shown that land. That was Eretz Kanaan, which we said is the name for the land of Israel before the Jewish people moved in. Okay, when Yeshua conquered the land, it moved from Canaan into Israel. Once the Jewish people were in their rightful homeland, the nature of the country changed itself. Now we said that Avram Avinu was promised the land. But we also said Yitzchak was promised the land. As we see, right? Hashem appeared to him and said, "Vayomer al terem Yisrael shken ba'aretz asher amar lecha, gor ba'aretz hazot, ve'yeh imcha v'arecha gilecha zarecha." I'm going to give you the land. Why was Yitzchak promised as well as Avraham? Because Avram had a Yishmael. So we have to exclude Yishmael from the deal of our land. Land of Israel is not and was not promised to the Bnei Yishmael. They came from a Paran and they were not given a distinctive land. And then Yaakov was promised the land as well. Why was Yaakov promised the land as well? Because we have to remove Esau from the equation, right? So Yaakov was given the land of Eretz Yisrael and it was promised to him. His children all came out Shalem. From him come the Shvatim, the 12 tribes. It was promised and eventually divided up among all 12 tribes. Actually, Levi was not given a Nachala, a portion, inside the land. Why is not a discussion for now? It's involved with their role around the land of Israel in general. They're too busy to be involved in land purchase and owning. They were given land to live in, but they were dispersed among the other places. But it was still divided into 12 sections because Yosef's children, Manasseh, and Ephraim, we'll see later on, were given two pieces each one. The only grandchildren of Yaakov. But that's an aside. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu was promised and told, I'm going to give you, you're going to receive the Torah, but the job ultimately is to take all of Bnei Israel into Eretz Israel. Now that generation did not get Eretz Israel. Why not? Because of the sin of the golden Bechet Egel, right? And eventually the Meraglim was the signature, the final seal on that, the sin of the gold, the sin of the spies, the Meraglim. They were not given the land. They had to die out. 40 years later, the Jewish people were given the land. The descendants of those original people that left Eretz Yisrael. But that was the promise. That was the promise given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shemos, Gimel Ches. They're read, let's see, Lam Yad Nisraim, La Los Min Aretz. The taking out of Egypt was linked that plan A, which we didn't get to see, plan B we did, but plan A was that they would leave Mitzrayim, receive the Torah 49 days later, and then a few weeks after that, how long does it take to move that many people, a few weeks after that, enter into Eretz Yisrael together with Moshe Rabbeinu. But they lost that. Who did enter? So Moshe Rabbeinu had a student, his greatest student, and his name was Yoshua. Yoshua was given the schus, the merit of taking the Jewish people through the Jordan River, which itself split, just like the sea split. Kriyas Yam Suf, the Yam Suf split, Bokei Yam, so too the Jordan split, so much in a different fashion, in actually a more miraculous fashion, really. The sea split at the time of Kriyas Yam Suf
a zoe, like this in the middle. The Jordan flows, and therefore it stopped, made a big tower of water, and the Jewish people entered. Actually, six miracles that happened at that time. Let's have a look at Yoshua's role in taking the land of Israel. Page 3. Moshe Avdi. God said to Yoshua, Moses, my servant, Mases, Daivatav, Kum, Avati Yadin, cross over the Jordan. Hazeh, Atai, Yuvachol, Amazel, Aras Hashem, Nochi, Natel, Lachem, Levene, Israel, to the land, given to the Jewish people. Kol Makom, every place, Asher Tigrach, Kach, Reglecha, Reglecha, that your foot shall touch, Bo Lachem, Etatim, I'm going to give it to you. I should have bowed to the Lord, like promised Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't the schus, by the way, of the Jewish people at the time. It wasn't their merit. It was promised to Moshe. And it was promised to Moshe because it was promised to Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov. Right? And the Lebanon, Arana Gadol, to the great river, the Euphrates, and Harparat, called Eretz, Achitim, Vadayam Gadol, Bavar, Shemesh, Yed, Vulchem. You can have a very large, biblical Israel is much larger than it is today. It's actually shorter. It doesn't go down to a lot. It's shorter, and it goes right to Transjordan, Syria, Lebanon, it stretches right out. Right? Much, much as far as Damascus, probably, all the way out. That was original. We mentioned this, yeah. Not a biblical Israel. A later, a very important addition. Let's have a look at Rashi, which I mentioned last class. Let's see it inside. Page 3. We know the first passage of the Torah is about creation of the world, the universe, and everything. And yet, Rashi makes a remarkable statement. Bereshis bara Elokim es hashamayim va'aretz. Rashi focuses on the word voracious, and he gives a number of interpretations. Bishvil Rashis, because of Rashis. And then Rashi quotes someone called Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, there's a whole discussion who this Rabbi Yitzchak was. Some say Rabbi Yitzchak was actually his father. Rashi wanted to begin his commentary on the Torah with Hakaras HaTorah for his father, and therefore he quotes a teaching from his father. And let's see what he says. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo yatzarich lahatil et haTorah. The Torah did not have to begin over here, with creation of the world. Right? Where should it have begun? Ma'achodesh elachem. The Torah should have begun with, this is the new month. That's the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people as a whole in Mitzrayim, to start a calendar and to track the months and the dates. She mitzvah Rishona, because this is the first mitzvah. She established Yisrael that the entire Jewish people, there were mitzvah beforehand, but they were individual mitzvot, individual people, like circumcision to Avraham Avinu. Then why do we have to begin the Torah with all these stories that take us from the creation of the world and onwards? And Rashi gives an incredible answer. Look at this Rashi inside. It's a beautiful Rashi which is worth knowing because it's relevant today. Very relevant today. Mishum, because Koach, he quotes the Hillel, Koach Masav Gidleamo, the strength of his powers, he told to his people, Letet Lehem Nachalat Goyim, to give them the land that was occupied by Goyim, other nations. She'im Yomru, if there appears a time that Uvata Olam, Ulam, the nations of the world say, L'Israel, to the Jewish people, listen, Matav, you Jews are thieves. You've stolen, says Rashi. She'kavak, this is Rashi speaking 1,000 years ago about a pasuk that was given to the Jewish people 2,500 years before then. You stole land that was occupied by 7 Canaanite nations. Hem omrim lehem kol aretz shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have a retort. How can you reply to this accusation of stealing? Hu bara, Hashem created the land, says Rashi. V'natla Hashem yishav enav. He gave the land to whoever he thought was straight in his eyes, i.e., whoever he wanted to. Beretzono natla lehem. He gave it to them to hold on to until that time. Over at Sono, and he wanted the creation of the heavens, the universe and everything, which includes the land of Israel. He wanted the Tamhem Batalanu. Take it from you, give it to us. Our claim, really speaking, to the land of Israel is because God gave it to us. How far does that go back? To the creation of the world, the universe and everything. Now, why that actual piece of land is interesting. Why that piece of land? Why not a little bit to the right with all the oil? That would have been nice. Alright? As they say, we would have in Mitzrayim, make a right rather than left. We would have got the oil, so the oranges. But it couldn't be that way. The land predated even the Jewish people inheriting at the time of Yoshua. we said it goes right back to the beginning of creation. Just for interest, anyone know, I don't know the answer to this question, but I have a guess, a thought. Why do you think that piece of land, that small little strip, was maybe why Hashem, we'll see more by the way, its location is also important geographically as well, in terms of the whole globe, but why is it important, maybe that piece of land, why would that be chosen? Think about the geographical location of the land of Israel. What's it?
Well, isn't it the center or something?
So we're going to see it's considered to be the center, the top of the world, we'll see. But just in terms of geographically, that's as a global thing. Just
in the middle of what the old world was.
Like. Right, the old world. The new world happens to be that it's the middle section. People pass through it, right? It connects east to west. Right, or west to east. Okay? Happens to be right then. At the ports, right, they're going to Israel, happen to be a capture point for many people. I don't know if that's true for sure. That's true for sure. Why that particular land itself, that particular... That's interesting. However, it's also considered to be... We'll see whether this is... It's considered to be something literally and something metaphorically the top of the world. Because the world's a globe. We'll see that in a second. Okay? So that's Rashi's interpretation based upon as the first Rashi in Chumash. By the way, this whole world... Let's talk about Israel. Fascinating, right? Turn to page 4. I know we're moving fast. We got a lot to discuss. Says the prophet Joel. Now, we're going to visit the prophets later when we discuss Mashiach. Right? And that whole Mashiach, by the way, episode discussion, is going to be centered in the land of Israel. There is not a coincidence why all the discussions of Mashiach are going to be centered in Israel. Actually, so much so that a prophet can only prophesy from the land of Israel. And, ready for this? A prophet can only prophesy from the land of Israel when the majority of the Jewish people are in the land of Israel. Which, interestingly enough, ladies, we are on the cusp of right now. For the first time in 2,000 years. That we're actually possibly having more Jews in Israel than outside. So in order for Mashiach to come, you have a Sanhedrin. In order to have sending you prophets. In order to have Eliyahu Navi to come as well. He's a prophet. He can only prophesy from Israel when the majority of the Jewish people are in Israel. So we are historically at a very, very unique time that our ancestors for 2,000 years have not experienced. We're going to talk more about that when we discuss with Mashiach in great detail as to how important that is. But all the action of that is going to revolve in Israel. It's all about Israel, Israel, Israel. Mashiach and Israel are inexplicably linked, as Joel the prophet says. Chapter 4, verse 2. The Kibastias Kol Agoyim, I'm going to gather together all the nations. Voratam El El of Yoshaphat, and I'm thinking to the valley of Yoshaphat, whatever that means, whether it's a physical place or a place where judgment. Vishvatsi Imam Sham Al Amin, the Nachalati Yisrael Hashem Hazra Begoyim, et Arzi Nachalku. So basically, the nation of Israel, my people, and the land of Israel is my land, he says. I'm going to judge them in my land, says Hashem. Right, that fitting words which go back to that original Rashi. This is my land. I decide, and I'm going to bring them there for judgment for the Tinnitus, the Jewish people, because I gave my people to my land. That's the land of Israel. Not Miami. It's nice. Not America. It's also good. But there is Israel. Now, what was told to the Jewish people? We're on section 2, verse 4. Please look inside. There are certain physical qualities that the land of Israel itself is praised for. As you mentioned last class, you have to love Israel. Actually, you do not, under any circumstances, want to talk badly about the land itself. It is possible and highly inadvisable to talk Lashon Hara about the land itself. We mentioned how the Meraglim spoke bad about the land. They were punished for that. The Jewish people cried all night when they heard this Lashon Hara report, and that became Tisha B'Av, which has become the worst day in the Jewish calendar for thousands of years. The Gemara says the rabbis would walk around Israel picking up the dirt just so the people wouldn't say, "Ugh, what a dirty country," which is Lashon Hara. They would be careful not to teach their class in the hot sun. People would say, "It's too hot here." Gotta be careful. You've got to be careful. You literally cannot talk about that. This is a gift. If someone gave you a gift, you'll be like, "Oh, I don't know. I would have preferred the better iPhone." Right? Well, you gave me a nice car there. Thanks for the Honda. I could have done with the BMW. That's like, well, then you don't like it, I'll take it back. You know what I'm saying? So the land itself is praised with great qualities. Let's have a look at those qualities. And this is Devarim, Perek Ches, chapter 8, verse Zion through Yud, 7 to 10. Ki Hashem Elokecha, because the Lord your God, look how much detail the Torah goes into. Meviacha is going to bring you El Eretz Tova. By the way, who is speaking over here? Where are we? We're in Devarim. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Jewish people. Why is he talking about the land of Israel? How good it is. Because he didn't get in. He did not get in. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu get in, by the way? What did he do? He hit the rock. Now, why that's a problem is another discussion. Because you're allowed to hit rocks if you want to. You want to go outside and thrash a rock? Be my guest. But him, at that time, in that way, with that attitude, says the Rambam, he lost his temper. According to the Rambam, he was not allowed in. This was very difficult for him, right? Even though he was hit the rock, very difficult. However, he gave a 3-week speech before he entered into Eretz Yisrael, which is Parshas Sefer Devarim, and he says the following. Hashem is going to bring you to the land of Israel. It's Eretz Tov, it's good. Eretz Nachle Mayim. It is lands of streams of water. The Talmud Yisima Bikar Bahar, springs and underground water coming forth from the valleys. Eretz, and now it's going to list the 7 species that are native to the land of Israel. Species that we, the Jewish people, connect to more, so much so that after eating them, we make a different blessing than all the others that are out there. Eretz Chita, wheat, Sa'ora, barley, Gefen, is a reference to grapes, Te'ena, figs, Rimon, pomegranates, Eretz Zayit, Shemen, and Devash, and honey, date honey, dates. Eretz Asher lo miskanet tochal balechem. This is a land where you're going to eat bread without poverty. If you follow the rules, there's going to be rules in Israel. Lo tasakol by Eretz Asher avner barzel. You will lack nothing. It's a land whose stones are iron. Right? There's not many natural resources there, like there are in surrounding areas. Marea tachsev nechoshet, and mountains are like copper, like nechoshet. Ve'achalta, you're going to eat. Ve'savata, you're going to make blessing. You're going to be satisfied. Ubirachta, Hashem lekacha, you're going to bless the Lord your God. Al ha'aretz atova Hashem etalach, which that I gave you. Says the Gemara, very famous statement. Rami v'yechezkel, tikle b'nei Barak. Rami, the son of Yechezkel, went to the travel to b'nei Barak. Went studying yeshiva over there, right? Hazneil, and who Eze, and he saw there were goats, right, who were eating the ka'achlu tute te'ene underneath fig trees, right? Te'ena's fig tree. Look, and a tativ dusha, and all the beautiful things were coming out of it, the juices coming out of it. The te'ene v'chal b'tayef minayhu, and the erev hadiyadari, and the goats were giving off milk, and these beautiful fruits were giving off their juices, and the two were mixing together in rivers, and they were traveling down, and he says, oh, Hainu, this is the land of Zvat Chalav Devash, land flowing with milk and honey. The milk is the milk of goats, not cows. And the honey is not the milk, not the honey of bees. It's the honey of the delicious fruits that capably grow there. There's something about it that even the fruit is considered to be greater. And these 7 species, these Sheva Minim that we talk about, they have greater significance than the other fruits because they are native species to the land. Now we'll see that the land gives off its fruit if the people in it deserve it. There'd be many other nations that have lived there. By the way, it's not just the Jewish people who have to act well in order to stay there. Even non-Jewish nations have to act in a certain way in order to stay there. The Torah itself says, we'll see, that the land itself is Yokio Shvea. It vomits out. That's the Torah's language, very strong language. Vomits out its people. It ejects. And Rashi over there says, imagine you have a sensitive stomach. And you put the wrong food inside the stomach. What does the stomach do? It immediately wants to expel it, to vomit it out. So to the land itself is like a sensitive spiritual stomach. The wrong person goes in with the wrong act, and eventually, it's polit. It gets kicked out. That the land itself has a power, has a koach. It's not just us that behave well. Other nations have to behave in a certain way there as well. Here's from Josephus. I found this in his book, The Jewish Wars. The whole area is excellent for crops. By the way, for 2,000 years it was a dust bowl and the Jews were out. So the Jews are there, it flourishes. There is a connection with the Jewish people living there and agricultural success of the land. The whole area is, by the way, we'll see, Mark Twain gave another version of this in the, when was he writing? The late 1800s. He wasn't Jewish. He went to visit Israel. And he talks about the barrenness. All the Jews came back en masse. The Jewish people came and revitalized it. The whole area is excellent, says Josephus, for crops or pasturage, enriched in trees of every kind, so that it's by its fertility, invites even those least inclined to work on the land. In fact, every inch of it has been cultivated by the inhabitants, and not a parcel of land goes to waste. It is thickly covered with towns, and thanks to the natural abundance of soil, the many villages are so densely populated, the smallest of them, 15,000 inhabitants. The land itself was rich. What happened after that? The Romans came, kicked us and destroyed, and it became a dust bowl again. Page 5. Look at this incredible connection commentators make. Kol Zman, says the Marashah, based upon the tractate in Sanhedrin, it talks about this. Kol Zman she'en Yisrael al admatam, the whole time the Jewish people are not on its land, Ein ha'aretz notenet peroteya kedarka. The land does not give its produce as it should. You're in Aza, and you're growing beautiful things over there, and beautiful trees, and produce, and all the wonderful things. You get kicked out, gornished. Aval, kishetachzor, when they return, they tell peroteya, the land gives its fruit again. The land changes when Jewish people live on it. And suddenly we're eating Jaffa oranges, and we're eating rimonim from all the kibbutzim, and they're exporting fruit. They're temporary. Zeo kates. Megula shekarav lavoz man gula shachzor Yisrael ad matan. You'll see, and we're going to see this later when we discuss Mashiach, one of the signs the prophets give us that Mashiach is coming is the blossoming of the land of Israel. The two are related. We'll see why that should be. Why does that have to be? Mashiach can come on barren land? No. But we're going to see that it has to be that the land itself cultivates and gives its agricultural produce before Mashiach comes. Says Rashi, v'ikru mi'adam pri'aretz, they took, the spies took from fruit of the land, v'yaradolim, they came down to us. So it says, the spies left with the fruit, and then they came down to us. Why does it say they came down to us? Magid, she'eretz Yisrael guvo mikol ha'asot, that Israel is the highest of all lands. Now, geographically, that's hard to understand. This Rashi makes no sense. But it's higher than all lands. There's countries that are higher. I mean, the lowest point in the world is found in the land of Israel, interestingly enough. That's the Dead Sea area. Right? But the land itself, this Rashi is difficult to understand. How can we understand this Rashi? The Rashi is based upon the passage that says they left and they went down. Which means, when they left their Israel, they were high and they came down. How can that be? So one way to interpret this, right, we're going to see the possibilities, the Marashah is going to spell them out, is that the world is a globe, and really, as a globe, any point, per se, can be considered the top. I mean, we have axes on both sides. We know that. But that's not the way we Jews see it. We see the world as a globe, and Eretz Yisrael is on top. So as soon as you leave Eretz Yisrael, if you take this passage, you're going down. And when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going up. You are making Aliyah. That's one interpretation. It depends how you hold the ball. If you hold the ball, so Eretz Yisrael is on top. Says the Marashah, based upon this, Shebeit HaMikdash Gubo Mekol Eretz Yisrael. That's because the Beit HaMikdash is the highest place of all Israel. Eretz Yisrael, the Vom Kol Arasot. Sha'olam, because the world, Katapuach, is like an apple. U'makom Beit HaMikdash, and the place of the Beit HaMikdash, U'marachez Olam, it's higher and viewed higher than all the others as well. Therefore, whenever you go there, you are ascending. That's one interpretation. Okay. It's a geographical statement. I mean, they mean literally. You're in Eretz Yisrael, you happen to be on top of the world. Like, literally. The world is actually not the way we look at it. The south and north pole being the top.
For us, we see Eretz Yisrael as the top. That's one interpretation.
Okay.
Says the Maharal on the next page. Since the world is a sphere, there is no top and no bottom. Right? A ball has no top and bottom. Right? Does it make sense? Right? It's just one continuous thing. The Maharal says, let's understand this statement of the Yardu, the going down, the Ali, as we call it, going up, and all the other action of going in, going out, and top of the world, and the highest point of the world, which is a given. And so let's try this one. Follow inside. Eretz Yisrael Gvoh Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Obey the Mishnah Mikol Eretz Yisrael. So, Eretz Yisrael is the top, and Yerushalayim is top of that, and then Beit HaMikdash is top of that, and the Makom Mikdash, and the Kodesh Kodashim, that's the topest point. That's literally the top axes of the entire world. Vezekia Eretz Yisrael Kedusha Mikol Eretz Yisrael. It's not because the Maharal, it's not a geographical statement, it is a spiritual statement. Okay? It is holier than the rest of the world. Right? Eretz HaKodesh. We spoke about this last class. Right? It's considered the holiest. What does the word Kedusha mean? It's different. Separate. Distinct. Apart. Elevated. Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Or Beit HaMikdash Kadosh Mikol Eretz Yisrael. And the Beit HaMikdash is the holiest of all of Israel. The Davar Shul Kodesh, we know that things that are considered Kadosh, holy, Elyon Hu Achmir Shul Shafal, is above, and that which is Chomer, Hu Shafal is low. So when it talks about Eretz Yisrael being the highest of all lands, and being the top of the world, it means in terms of holiness. According to Maharal, that's the Maharal. Maharasha went with, no, it's a geographical statement. Maharal's like, no. That which is holy is up, that which is not holy, Chomer, physical, is down. Ulekach, af im tomaki koloratu kador. And if you want to say the entire world is like a ball, a sphere, right? Bakador shavu kol sad, and a sphere is equal on all sides. Yocholem niacharosh b'kol makom mina kador. You are able to put the world, the ball, anywhere you want. You don't have top or bottom. You can decide what the top or the bottom is. Mikol makom yeshen niacharosh kador. Eretz Yisrael. There is to say that you can actually decide that the world has a top, and you can decide that the world has a bottom. And the top of the world is Eretz Yisrael, because it's like a ball. Rosh HaKadur Eretz Yisrael, mipnei midregas, kedushasav, because of the madrega, the level of the holiness, shubitala sharat, which is higher than any other land, mipnei zeyo makashah olecha l'Eretz Yisrael. And that's why we say, he says, as the Maharal of Prague, I was actually in his synagogue about a month and a half ago, which still exists. Actually, his synagogue, fascinatingly enough, is probably the longest serving synagogue in world history. 800 years it existed in its present way, which is longer than, as long as both temples together. Okay? So he says, Olech al Eretz Yisrael, when a person goes to Eretz Yisrael, Shur Olech, he goes up. He goes up in Kedusha. He goes up in holiness. It's not just a geographical statement, it's a spiritual statement, an elevation of spirituality. The Yote Nikra'alech HaShe'olech, the Beit HaMikdash, and how much more so when a person would walk up, and there they are walking up, because Yerushalayim is up on a mountain, right? You go up to Yerushalayim, that's also an Aliyah. So you make an Aliyah when you go to Israel, but you're also making an Aliyah when you go to Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, you make an Aliyah to Har Habayit, to the temple. It's up, 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 up. This idea of elevation, meaning spiritual, by the way, goes back. Whenever the Torah talks of mountain, it's an elevated experience that's happening there. When it talks of a midbar, it's a low, difficult, challenging experience. A har, right, Har Sinai, represents upness, elevation, going up, a higher point, a vista. So good things happen on mountains, right? Bad things happen in deserts. They're void, they're barren. The idea of something being elevated and being in a good place spiritually doesn't just start with Eretz Yisrael, it applies in general. Okay? That's the Maharal. I know we're doing a lot today, but we've got a lot more to do. So that's the qualities of the land itself. But what's the purpose? Why do we even need a land? Why do we even need a land itself? So I'd like to share with you what I used to call the 3L approach to Judaism. I then changed it to the 5 L's, and then, because
a student in this class 3 years ago, added two more, and then I'm going to add another one. So from three L's to five L's to six L's. Let's do that together. What are the five L's of Judaism? We have the laws. That's the Torah. Nachan? We have laws. We have Torah. We have a land. Right? But this is not a Mishnah. This is just my nice summary of what's going on. That's Eretz Yisrael. Right? We now know very clearly. Torah is given to Har Sinai. Land of Israel was given to us as well as a gift. As a menachalah. With difficulty was given to us as a gift. And language. Right? Eretz Yisrael. And languages, Lashon Kodesh, holy language. All these are holy. The Torah is Kadosh. The land itself is Kadosh. Hebrew language is Kadosh. So that's why I used to stop this. Then a few years ago, a student said, how about love? I was like, fine. So stick love in there. You have to love the Lord your God. And then someone said, another land, another L, which was, I love that, that's Torah. Oh, forgotten now. Life, right? We're all about Chayim, right? Bacha b'chayim to choose life. And then someone said, it's good because Rabbi Lawrence had you teaching you this. It's unlike the father of the corny jokes that you hate but love at the same time. Okay. So let's think about this. Let's talk seriously for a second. So we have a Torah. We have a Torah. We have a land. And we have a language. Okay? What are the Jewish people? We are a nation, an Am. We are an Am, Am Yisrael. We're not a race, as people would call us, usually derogatory, right, in a derogatory fashion. We are an Am, we're a nation. That's what we are, Am Yisrael. A nation needs a land. That's where it flourishes. What's fascinating is that the law was given before the land. I mean, we were in the land, and now everyone was in the land. Everyone's in the land. But as a nation, we went in. The Torah was given before we went into Eretz Yisrael, which is pretty wild. Why would that be? Very good. So let's start with the really more obvious one. They needed time to prepare. Given the Torah outside, and then take it inside. Because there's a lot of laws which apply to the land of Israel, over half of them. So you're going to have to know, right? Study the laws before you get in. Right? It's a lot to study. So we have time to prepare. That's not so unusual. We were given certain mitzvot before Har Sinai, like Shabbat. We need time to prepare. Another possible reason the Torah was given before was because, as Rachel just mentioned, you shouldn't think the Torah is only in the land. The land, this is very important, is part of Torah. The land is part of Torah. Torah is the boss. That comes first. The best place to keep the Torah? In Eretz Yisrael. But if there comes a time, which we knew there would, when we would get exiled from the land, and ergo, the language is forgotten by most of the Jewish people, which is until this day, we don't have the language for most Jewish people, the Torah still stands. So the Torah is universal. Which is why it was given in 70 languages. Right, written down by Yeshua.
What does it say on the front?
Study the laws before you get in. Before you get in, you study the laws so you know what they were doing. Well, that's one reason. But there's many more answers to this question. Not for now. The Torah is universal. But if we're a nation, we need a land. There's the perfect symmetry of the Jewish people is the Torah in the land with Lashon Kodesh. That's the perfect put together. That's the perfect system. That's the way it's meant to be. That's plan A. The fact that we're kicked out is not a good thing. Yes?
I don't understand the Hebrew part. You're saying that I don't get all that.
So what makes a nation, what I'm saying is, what makes a nation into a nation? How do you define a nation? A group of people live together in a country. There's a few things that bring a nation together. We have laws, right? Which, by the way, even non-Jewish nations make laws, but they make the laws after they enter the land. Always. Right? They came to America, started a nation of the American people, 200 years ago, pretty recently, and they made laws. They don't kill each other, because
I can't steal. But fast, we preceded it. But in order for a nation to be a nation, you need to have laws to keep it going. Fast, our laws are total. You have a land. A nation has a land. Right? If not, it dissipates. That's Eretz Yisrael. And they need a common language. Nation states need these three things. So I'm saying the purpose of the Jewish people is to have all those three. That was the way the system was originally set up. The fact we were exiled from the land itself is plan B. Happens to be, though, you can still be a observant believing Jew, even if you're outside the land. How do I know that? Because the Torah preceded the giving of the land. It's a separate reality. They're not intrinsically linked. You can have one without the other. But the ideal state is what I'm trying to state to you now, is that these three go together. Yeah, does that answer your question? We're just trying to figure out what's an arm, what's a nation? That's what we're trying to figure out. So we're now saying, a nation needs to have a land. Oh, we do have a land. Who gave it to us?
Isn't that why Har Sinai, there's no specific locations to Har Sinai?
That's one of the reasons that no specific location to land is Har Sinai. We don't really care where it is. It doesn't bother us. The Torah that comes from it is important. In fact, it's even outside of Israel is important, but that's it.
Okay.
Then, okay. Doesn't bother us. I don't care what my Rebbeinu was wearing either. Doesn't bother me. Right, I'll leave that to the other academics.
Right, where was it exactly? What
was he wearing? So, now we pull this together. Turn over your page to page 7. We're now going to see that the purpose of the land of Israel is in order to fulfill the Torah. It's not just a country. America's a country. It just chose a random land. Russia has a country. Right? The Russian people, the Russian nation. Right? But there's no... Which is an increasing reality, we now know. Let's we'll leave that aside, right? It is a country that happens to house people. For us, it's not that way. There is something very, very linking us to the land itself. And that's because the best place is the Mitzvah. Let's have a look in Devarim. 6:1, page 7. V'zot ha-mitzvah l'chokim mishpatim. We spoke about that. We have mitzvot, we have chokim, we have mishpatim. Right? Different types, three types of mitzvot that we have. Remember that? You bet it's going to be in the midterm. Chokim are statutes. Mishpatim are the general civil laws. Okay? Asher tziva Hashem alakeh, the Lord just l'lamed etchem, that you should learn them. La'asot ba'aretz. And to perform them in the land. Asher atem, Avum Shammah L'Rishna, which you're going to inherit. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, this Torah that we have, take it in with you. Actually, when they did enter, the Torah went first. They followed by Yehi V'Saharon. They followed the Ark, which had the Luchos in, and the first ever Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they followed it. Actually, according to some opinions, it flew over the Jordan, with the Kohanim holding on to it. It carried its carriers. And went, whoop, no said, no sabi, carried them over. Right? We follow the Torah. So the Torah led us in to the land of Israel itself. These are the laws you shall keep. La'asot ba'aretz, do the land. Hashem atal Hashem kecha, which Hashem, your father, promised, not gave, your forefathers, l'cha to you, l'rishka, to inherit it. Right? What's a Yerusha? Continual inheritance. It's been given for each generation to take and then pass on. Take and pass on. Not like the inheritance you have now. The parents make millions, give it to the kids, they spend it, and that's the end of it. No, this is a continual nachala and yerusha that gets passed on from one generation to another, that we pass it on. Kol ha'imim, she'atem chayim al adam, all the years and all your lives here on the land itself. The primary reason for the land of Israel is to do mitzvot. So the Torah says, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what it says. No, I'm being serious. Don't shoot the messenger. Says the Ramban in a very famous treatise on Vayikra, Yudches, Chafei, 1825. Amu B'Sifri is going to quote the Midrash Sifri. Va'avadatem, your hearts will lead you astray and serve you, and bow to, if your hearts lead you astray, you bow to the gods. You'll be quickly lost from the land. Right? You follow father. You don't like my gift. You want to follow other gods. You don't do mitzvah. You don't need the land. Get out.
is a direct connection. I'll find a nation to take your place. If you don't want it, you don't appreciate this gift, and you use it for abject purposes, not to make the world a better place, not to increase love of the Jewish people and Hashem and Islam, then you don't get it. You get out. That's what I believe. I'm Mehera. Afal pi shani megalet chem min haaretz v'chutz laaretz. Even though I'm exiling you from the land of your of Israel, right? Hayu mitzuyanim v'mitzvot. Keep doing mitzvot. Keep doing them. Why? Kusheshivtachru lo yu'alechem chadashim. So when you get in the land of Israel, it won't seem like they're new to you. Why? The Ramban is saying something unbelievable. And he lived outside of Israel and went to Israel. So he lived this. But the Ramban is saying, quite astonishingly, that the land of Israel is where you're actually meant to keep the mitzvot. Why do you keep the mitzvot outside of Eretz Yisrael? So that when you go back, it won't seem new to you. It's a wild piece. Mashal, he gives us a metaphor. La'adon shekas al ishto, he gets upset with his wife. Shilcha bet aviyah, and sends her out to his father-in-law's house. Sounds good. Amala, have mitkashet at achshitin. Beautiful thing. You're still the king's wife, you're still the queen, still the Adon's wife, still good. Keep on wearing your jewelry. It's not fully appreciated in father's house, it's appreciated in my house. That's where you wear jewelry, right? But keep it on. Don't take it off. Keep those beautiful jewels on you, so that when you come back, when I bring you back, lo yo'alecha chadashim, what's the nimshal? Hashem kicks us out. He says, but keep doing the mitzvot, you'll get reward. Not as much reward in Israel, because that's where they're meant to be kept. But why do them? So when they come back, if you're 2,000 years without mitzvot, you can completely forget them. To keep doing the outside, to pick up inside, you're like, oh, they're familiar. Why? I mean, is that like, when I learned this as a kid, I mean, in my youth group, they taught this to me, I was like, what? No. I don't see it inside, I heard it. And interestingly, the Ramban, Nachmanides, lists going to Eretz Yisrael as one of the Tariyag Mitzvot. It's a mitzvah, right? Everyone agrees there's Tariyag Mitzvot. There is dispute sometimes what constitutes all 613. There are, some are obvious, right? But some, there's deviations whether a mitzvah becomes one mitzvah, or otherwise it's not actually one of the Tariyag Mitzvot, you know? He actually lists it as 1 6 13. Hine Ramban mane mitzvah zo beklal mitzvot. According to him, mitzvah, whatever it is, in the mitzvot, and list of his mitzvot, right, is one of the 613. Mikra from the verse, v'yirashtem atav, v'yishavtem ba. You're going to inherit it, and you're going to settle it. Settling Eretz Yisrael, just moving there, just living there and settling it, you're filling mitzvah. A biblical mitzvah, a doraisa. You moved over to Israel. Do you make a blessing when you arrive there? I don't know. But it's a mitzvah doraisa, according to him. Why? The key he should call it can I call a mitzvot? Because this mitzvah, he says, is equal to all the other mitzvot. Now that's a big statement that you see elsewhere. Living in Eretz Israel. Living in Eretz Israel. Is equal to all the other mitzvot. The only other, there's only a couple of others, but Shabbat and Talmud Torah are referred to that way. They're equal to all the other mitzvot. So that's pretty big stuff. Yes, Tiffany.
If you said the primary purpose of the land of Israel is to be mitzvot, then how come most of the people living in Israel are not?
Tiffany is asking a good question. If the primary purpose of Eretz Israel is to fill God's will inside it. That's why it was given. We see from all the 40,000 years. How come most Jews inside do not do it? I'll say the same reason that most Jews in the world do not do mitzvot either. Or keep Shabbos. Why do 85% of the world population, or whatever it is, or 80% of them, not keep Shabbat? They don't know. Years of exile, years of Haskalah, years of Holocaust and pogroms and all the rest of it, the Torah was lost from them. It's a great shame.
Yeah.
It's a great shame. Are they held culpable
That's a question. Are they considered tinuk shenishba? Are they considered like a kidnapped child who didn't get brought up with Judaism? Some say yes, some say no, actually. Some say they're there, they see around enough to, if they want it, they can get it. But we're going to judge ourselves and them better and say it's on the individual. They just don't know. They don't know. Spread the word. Preach the gospel, sister. Preach it. Is that not my, I'm just telling you what it says. I'm just showing the sources. In my classes, everything is sourced for that reason. Okay? Yes?
Going off of that, how can these really firm people protest Israel if...
That is a very, very question. So, you're touching upon a political point, and I don't want to go into it because I don't like politics, because politics divides and Torah unites. Although I have an honours degree in political science from the University of England, I don't like politics. Having said that, this is important. So I will say that nobody who's an observant Jew can, by definition, doesn't mean they can't eat pig, they can't talk bad about the land of Israel. It makes no sense. It's impossible. Eretz Yisrael is kadosh. That's a given. You can't break it. You can't take a piece of Torah and cut it out. It's insanity. It doesn't make sense. What are those people against? So, it's not so simple, according to the Gemara mentions this as well. The Jewish people should retake the land by force, right? The Gemara says a choma, which is open to a lot of interpretation, again, too, as a wall, go in and overtake the land itself. Should we have self-governance of the land itself? That is something which now things are changing. There's a shift. Over the past 15, 20 years, not even, you're seeing a shift that even in that, in the ultra-Orthodox world, they're like, we've got to protect the land, we've got to support it, they serve with the government, you know, they get involved in it. Are there certain fringe groups that believe we should leave Israel now? A small, nutty bunch who have no real leadership, who you see at protest rallies, who are absolutely, as we say in England, and completely bonkers. You don't know what that word means?
No.
Well, you've been to maybe bonkers bagels? Is that right? Crazy. There's nothing to that. But no Jew can ever say that Eretz Yisrael is not the Jewish people's. That's impossible. That's like saying tefillin or Shabbat is not part of Judaism, and by doing that, you're not part of the Jewish people. You've removed yourself from the whole Torah. Yeah?
What some people say is that people shouldn't be moving because Mashiach hasn't brought them in.
Okay, so according to the Ramban we're seeing, and by the way, if you go through history, many of you tried to move to Israel. The Vilna Gaon, Chofetz Chaim, I mean, many, many, these are greatest people in Jewish history, our greatest heroes and heroines, try to move. The question is, should we move en masse and set up our own government? That already became a debate with the formation state of Israel. But going to Israel and living there for thousands of years, not even a question. The Vilna Gaon tried, he writes down, the Vilna Gaon, right? You don't get from the Vilna Gaon. So you can't say that. But en masse and set up our own leadership before Mashiach comes, that became a debate. Okay? That's already another question.
I thought that their whole problem was also just that they don't believe in our government because of Herod or so much.
It is a secular, it's a secular government, and they have problems with that. But the government now is full of extreme religious people as well, because we're all there. And the tide is changing. Right, we're seeing it, that we have it. But to go en masse and set up a secular government, that was problematic for them, yeah. Now, that's based upon some sources. But not as individuals, never as individuals. Right? We've had, by the way, this is very important, and I say this because you're going to hear in many news sources and stories and online that the Jews have been after 2,000 years, who are we to come back? There has been a presence in the land of Israel for 2,000 years. There were always Jews in Israel. Right? There's even photos of Jews, but my grandmother moved to Israel. My mother was born in Israel pre-1948. Right? She's not a Palestinian. Right? She's a Jew in Israel. I'm serious, she's not a Palestinian. I'm serious, I'm sorry. I know it looks like it could be, but she's not there. Okay. So that, am I clear on this? Are we getting a difference over here? Eretz Yisrael Kadosh, moving to Israel, mitzvah as an individual, as a family. It's a greater thing. No one disputes that. En masse together, and all these sects that we talk about, the most Hasidic sects, they have sects in Israel. Right? They're over there, right? They're all, they have Belzman, they have Salman, they're all there. come up against it, why don't they just leave? So he says, and he quotes the Piskei Teshuva, even quotes Trum Sadesh from the commentators, and says that this mitzvah is affirmed. And when is it applying? Then came Kolas Manim Shavim Lekim Misvazu. There's no one time when you don't have this mitzvah to be to Israel and be in Eretz Yisrael. Now the big question is, well, we're outside of Israel, and there's many observant Jews are outside, so what are we doing outside? We have the opportunity to go. That's a big question. It really is a big question. Okay. But one thing is, according to the Ramban and others, because of Trum's attention, it's a mitzvah for all times, for all people, all Jews in the entire world. If you can go, you go to Eretz Yisrael. If you're able to. Now there are many, 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 many great Jews who lived outside of Eretz Yisrael. So how can that be? That's a good question. And the Sifri says a little bit later, "V'yirashtem ata, v'yishavtem ba, v'shematam lasot." Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael should call it getting on the mitzvah of Torah. Living in Israel itself is equal to the mitzvah. You just can't dispute that. It just is a great, wonderful mitzvah if you're able to do it. Says the Gemara, and by the way, the Rambam agrees with this. The Rambam even quotes this halacha. Every Dalad Amot, this is a Gemara in Ketubah that discusses all these questions. Whoever walks 4 amot in the land of Israel is guaranteed a place in the world to come. By the way, just for interest, this is something I wish you would have done and one day I want to do. How long does it take to walk from one side of Israel today to the other side? You want to walk it.
Okay.
Talking top to bottom. Top to bottom. How long do you think it takes? By the way, how long did it take the Meraglim? So what? 4 hours. You have to be in a fighter jet. It took 40 days. 40 days. The Meraglim walked on 40 days, right? Because Hashem folded up the land so they could cover the entire land in 40 days. That was a nace, by the way. One of the reasons there was such trouble, Hashem did a miracle they did in 40 days and 40 nights to cover the land. Another important 40. It takes 3 months. There's actually a hike. Any Israelis there? I have two Israelis. You go from the north of Israel down south of Israel. It takes 40 days. A special hike, right? That you could do. I wish I'd do it. But my wife says I've got to stay home and take care of the kids.
My son took the other day.
My kids like to go hiking. I mean, they fetch a lot. But me and my wife, we're big hikers. We're big at hiking. But 3 months, and you sleep, there's a route. There's a route. There's actually, look it up. There's a route they take, a place where you stay. And then they go down where you stay. And oh, can you imagine that? I mentioned that because that's like a big mistake. 4 months. 4 months. 4 months. Oh, how the, you're young, don't do it. What are you doing here? Go walk the land. Go walk down. I lived in Israel for a year and I went back again. But oh, just to walk around. I said, oh.
You lived there with your family?
No, with my family. No, sadly, no. I went back and forth. And I know it. When I was growing up, we lived there for a year. We went back, studied.
How much is an amma?
An amma is about between a foot and a half. An amma is an arm. The word arm comes from amma, from the top here to here. So anywhere between a foot and a half and 2 feet is an amma. About 6 feet, they say. About 6 feet. But you have to understand that. Now, why should that be? Just walk in the land itself. You have the right, that's your intention. I want to be in the land, I want to occupy, I want to make it a better place, I want to cultivate it. According to the Chasam Sofer, by the way, nobody's even aware of this. If I have this piece, I should print it out. Just working the land itself is a mitzvah. Planting trees and being involved in it and building businesses and making the people on the land successful is a tremendous mitzvah. And there's many stories from history of people who had businesses outside of Israel and big businesses worth a vast amount of money. And then had small businesses, I think. The Wisotsky Tea Company, is that the one, the famous story? Is that the one? And they had outside, and they lost all the business outside because they were taken by the Goyim, other nations. And they had the only benefit, the one that was just wrong. It's a mitzvah just to cut, that's the Chasam Sofer, by the way. Right? Because like the founder of the ultra-Orthodox Haredi movement. Even he says, just be the land itself, there's a peace. Just cultivating, being there, involved in it, working it, making a business there, surviving there. Big mitzvah. Even put away Talmud Torah a little bit. That's a big statement. Trust me. What Chasam Sofer? In Chadash Mei Torah? Nothing new in the Torah? Okay. We'll start part B after the Chagim. I wish you all a Shana Tova, a Ketiva Tova, Chatima Tova,
and I'll see you all next year.